Welcome to Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune with me back in San Diego. Yes, it's been a while. Padres, Angels tonight. Just spent, you know, three and a half days in Colorado. I'm not sure what I witnessed, Ryan. I really am not sure what I witnessed. It was more insane than I could have thought. And as you know, I predict the insane when you go to Coors Field. But anyway, Ryan, where would you like to start?
You know, I don't want to take too much stock in what happens at Coors Field, just in terms of, you know, I don't think that it means anything for the course of the season. But I'd like to talk about two things that we did witness this weekend. On Saturday, Padres win 21-0, largest margin of victory in club history. One of those sort of typical Coors Field games, with the exception of, you know, the Padres pitched their butts off. Steven Kolek pitches a complete game shutout at Coors Field, which almost never happens. Speak to both of those things. If you had to tell me, Kevin, what was more surprising, it had to have been Kolek's performance as opposed to scoring 21 runs, right?
Right. Now, statistically, it's not. And I almost would have thought that it was. I would have thought that teams would have scored 20 or more runs at Coors Field more often than a pitcher throws a complete game shutout. But that's not the case. It's like 15 times that someone scored 20 runs or more, and then 28th time that a pitcher has thrown a complete game shutout. I still say what Steven Kolek did is more impressive, and I don't want to take anything away, but it was the Rockies. But let's even that out and say it was Coors Field. Like, right? Like, blue pits lead to fly ball home runs. Walks lead to a gapper double, because it's huge gaps there. And a run scores. What that guy did, attacking, and that's his number one thing. He doesn't have great stuff. He's got good stuff. He locates well, and he is a good pitcher in the major leagues. I should have said if he locates well, but he locates well. This kid's pretty good. Loved him in spring training. Thought that he was getting better as a reliever. Now he's throwing five pitches. To me, far more impressive. Look, games where there's 14, 15 runs, and really, what's the difference between 14, 15 runs and 21? Those are a dime a dozen at Coors Field.
Sure. You saw a position player pitch, which happens a lot at Coors Field.
Two shutout innings.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that's my big takeaway, I guess, Saturday was Kolek 1, margin of victory 2. And yeah. Kolek, I think, is forcing the issue here. And again, these things have a way of taking care of themselves. However, the Padres, and you wrote about this in today's Padres Daily, Yu Darvish could be back relatively soon. He's going to make a rehab start this week, and then they'll reevaluate. That would leave the Padres to essentially choose, possibly, between Kolek and Randy Vasquez, both of whom have been very pleasant surprises so far this season. Kolek more so than Vasquez, but Vasquez has more of a body of work. You offered today that it's possible they could go to a six-man rotation. Is that the prevailing thought in the clubhouse right now, do we think?
Yeah, certainly by the beginning of March. Some of these pitchers, if not all of them, really like this 5 days off. Now, they'll go on four. They pitched well on four, but that's the quote-unquote normal. But what's normal anymore? The Padres start a run where they have two 13-day stretches in a row of, without a day off. So it's 13, day off, 13, and then I think another nine. And before the first 13, there's a nine. So we're talking about like over a month with like 3 days off, all right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to a six-man rotation, if at all possible. And obviously it's possible for the Padres, and I think that's what they'll do. By the way, Jacob Stallings allowed one, the catcher for the Rockies, allowed one run. I had stopped paying attention by that point, to be sure. And so had the Padres, based on all of the laughs that were happening as they were batting against Jacob Stallings. Anyway, wanted to make sure I was factual. Six-man rotation is, I would say, assured, and I would say that they're in a pretty good spot then.
Yeah, it's again, Steven Kolek has yet to allow a run in the big leagues through two starts, which it's not a large sample, but it's not necessarily small. I mean,
it's not. Look, I think Logan Allen came and threw six shutout, maybe against the Angels, even, right? Like, or maybe it was Jacob Nix. But like, what I'm doing is pointing out both of those guys is where are they now, right? Mm-hmm. And how long did they last in a bad rotation, right? So it can happen. But look, that's two starts. No runs, two bad teams. One of them was at Coors Field. The guy actually looked pretty good in AAA, from what I understand. He looked good in spring training. I think there is promise in Steven Kolick. And I'll say this again, and I say it about Randy Vasquez a lot, a four or five starter. Randy Vasquez has given his team a chance to win. He made eight starts. He has given his team a chance, arguably, to win in seven of them. Mm-hmm. That means Randy Vasquez is doing his job. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you go to the ballpark that night going, yeah, right on. This is, you know, Michael King, right? Like, no. But if Randy does his job and the offense does his job, which means Randy five innings, or I should say the bullpen too. So Randy does five innings, one or two runs. The bullpen does its job, you know, goes three or four innings, does one run or zero runs. The offense scores five runs, win.
Yeah, you're right. And again, we talk about this a lot, or I feel like I belabor the point when we talk on here. Getting off to such a good start allows a team to do certain things because they're not trying to play catch up, right? Maybe if the Padres were struggling, maybe if they were 500 or a little under, maybe we wouldn't be talking about, hey, they should go to a six-man rotation that includes one rookie and one guy really going through his first full season in the big leagues, right? Yeah. To me, this is the luxury of winning games. Is you can say to Yu Darvish, hey, you want to make two, you know, you're not rushing Yu Darvish back. You can experiment with something like a six-man rotation. And if it blows up in your face and you have two bad weeks, it won't kill your season, you know?
Right. Do you think the Padres are playing one under 500 baseball for the rest of the season? Because if they do, if they play one under 500, which I don't think there's any indications, barring a rash of injuries, that they are going to go 61 and 62 the rest of the season. Because if they go 61 and 62 the rest of the season, they will finish with 86 wins. So they're in a pretty good spot. They're in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, that's it. And again, playing good baseball, there's just so much that works in a team's favor when they start hot. And we just don't know that here because it doesn't happen very often.
Right. And hopefully for their sake, they don't have those injuries that, you know, and that they are playing, because it has served them well and has not served the Dodgers well to cruise into the playoffs. It has served the Padres well. Last year, they cruised into the playoffs, but they were fighting to the last series or to the second to last series to try to win the NL West. Mm-hmm. So I think that's far more important than whether you have that first series off. Is did you have to fight? And look, it's anecdotal. We're still in the early stages of six playoff teams in each league, but the Dodgers also had to fight then, and you know, till late September, mm-hmm. which they had not had to do the previous 2 years.
True.
So I really think that's important. My overall point is I think it's going to be a really exciting finish to this season. But 100% agreeing to your point is they're in a really good spot.
Yep. And especially I'm thinking a lot about Yu Darvish here. Yeah. Somebody who I think only has a certain number of bullets left. Nobody prepares harder. Nobody's more in tune with his body on this roster. But, you know, if Yu Darvish makes his Padres debut in late May, let's say, I think that bodes really well for them in August and September, right? You're not necessarily worrying about Yu Darvish's arm or fatigue or whatever.
Provided this wasn't catastrophic, the injury, mm-hmm. my impression was the Padres weren't that bummed about it.
Right.
Because, and I'll say this, when you're covering a team that doesn't necessarily have a lot of roster spots up for grabs, and it was fun to sort of geek out over the Yuli Gurriel, Martin Maldonado, Brandon Lockridge situation in spring, but we talk a lot here about how the core is, you know, where it's going, mm-hmm. and maybe we expand it to the core seven if Gavin Sheets keeps going like this, or maybe we sub out someone, I won't name them, but you know, spring training, when you're covering a team that is really about the end of the season, you're just trying to forecast stuff. And one of the things I forecasted was Yu Darvish. A, doesn't know how much longer he's going to play. And B, more pertinent now, more immediate, the Padres, even if he was healthy, were going to take their time with him. Maybe an extra day here and there. Maybe one inning less here and there, depending on was he having stressful innings, all that. That was healthy Yu Darvish. So once he got hurt, yeah, whatever. Take your time. This is all good. We're saving bullets. Work your way back at your pace. Now, they've always given, you know, the guy they call Yusan, they've always given him sort of like the lead on this sort of stuff. And he's taking the lead here and working with them. And you're absolutely spot on. They are, it might turn out to be a benefit that Yu Darvish got a couple months of not trying to win Major League Baseball games.
Absolutely. And if the Padres are still in a position where they're on pace for a playoff spot, you know, maybe they're asking less of him, you know, in July and August. And, you know, we saw last year, you know, again, different situation, wasn't necessarily returning from an injury, was returning from a personal thing. But a rested Yu Darvish was a real weapon.
Yep. That's exactly weapon. What they, yep. Yep. Absolutely. Right. And look, he's had, I can't tell you because they're not entirely forthcoming and neither is you. And I can't blame them on that to a certain extent, but he's had, so I can't tell you if they're related, but he's had elbow issues for like 4 years now. Mm-hmm. Like there has to be something to that, right? You know, he was on the IL with an elbow issue before going with the personal issue. So like, right. I just think this was really good. And it's what they were talking about in spring training is we want Yu Darvish at the end of the season.
Yeah. Can I ask you a couple just random questions? And it almost seems silly to ask 2 days after they score 21 runs. But this is not a team that hits a lot of home runs.
Yeah.
Even at Coors Field, really.
Right. Yeah.
At some point, is there a concern there? Or is it just the Petco approach?
So, it's the Petco approach. And that's why there's probably not concern. Because if you look at last year, I believe it was June 5th. So 65 games, I believe, into the season. They were ranked 20th in home runs, all right? They finished ranked 8th. Mm-hmm. The weather heated up. The Petco Park approach, well, I didn't realize that was a tongue twister, only for me. It ended up resulting in home runs. The Padres hit more line drive home runs over the last two seasons than any other team. And so there I would say, no, not a concern, but certainly something worth pointing out that they ranked 20th in home runs. And the only reason they ranked 20th instead of, you know, 22nd, 23rd, is they did hit those 5 home runs on Saturday. And 2 for sure were Coors Field specials. And I would argue Tatis's might have been a Coors Field special. But Xander and Jason Hayward for sure. Sheets and Cronenworth, those were homers. But again, against the Rockies, at Coors Field, they count, but they would be ranked lower than 20th if not for that. So I think it's a really, you know, pertinent topic for sure. I don't think that with the second best record in baseball, I think the 6th best run differential in baseball. And don't give me National League at this point because the Padres have played almost half their games against the American League. So what we do now with the universal schedule is we go Major League Baseball rankings for the most part. But if you do look at National League rankings, the Padres are pretty low and a lot of offensive, not average. Not opportunities, but runs scored, home runs. They're low in those rankings, and so I would not entirely dismiss that as an issue.
Yeah, there's a stat, and I was looking at this yesterday, just kind of bored. You know, the Padres have killed the Rockies this year. I'm not sure offhand what the run differential is, but I thought it was 41 heading into yesterday, something like that, right?
Okay,
41. Their run differential for the season is, hold on,
48.
Yeah. To me, if there's any cause for minor concern looking ahead, it's that if you take the Rockies out of the equation, this is not a team that has been smoking the opponent. And
so, I love that. I love that, man. That's the kind of stat that makes me want to dig deeper. Now, take that there was a 6-run differential yesterday. So now the differential with the Rockies is 35. So now it's 13 with all the other teams. And then I would go, okay, absolutely. Let's see. The Dodgers haven't played the Rockies. The Giants haven't, or they did play the Rockies. But how many times have the Royals and the Tigers played the White Sox? But anyway, yeah, I love that stat. Because that is the kind of stat that digs deeper and gets to the point that you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, against teams with a better than 500 record, they're 13-10. I mean, that's really good. It's the most wins
that
of anybody.
That is one of the best in the league, I believe.
Yep, yep. And so, you know, there's a lot of that. To me, the thing that's just the most compelling stat to me is that they're 14-4 at home. They played a lot of really good or really bad teams at home. Yes. And we've got one coming in tonight. And I guess we'll have to talk about the Anaheim Angels, Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim at some point. But
they're 4-1 against the Cubs and Giants at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they jumped on. I think the Braves are going to turn out to be decent, if not good. They jumped on them early. That was not the Braves. But give them credit for that. So they're 8-1 at home against decent teams. So, but they also, yes, have played some bad teams.
How many home losses have they had against teams not named the Tampa Bay Rays?
One, correct? The Cubs.
That's astounding to me.
Yeah, that is something. That's baseball right there. We're going to talk the Los Angeles Angels. Just to put into perspective of why maybe I struggled to get too hyped up about Saturday's game. Mm-hmm. The Angels are 16-22. That means, and they're bad. That's what people say, right? They're 16-22, playing primarily American League schedule. They're 9 games better than the Rockies at 16-22. They're 4.5 games out. People always talk about the Rockies are already, I think, 19.5 games out of the West. Well, the Rockies are also, I think, 16.5 out of a wild card spot or something like that. The last wild card spot. The Angels are only 4.5 games out of the last wild card spot. Mm-hmm. That's how bad the Rockies are. Like, it's insane. Like, it's incredible to see how bad the Rockies are.
Yeah.
And you're going to be watching a team tonight that's probably going to make some plays. That you go, oh, I see why the Angels are 16-22. But then multiply that, like, I don't know, by 3, by 4. That's how bad the Rockies are.
Can I ask you an unfair question? Is this the worst team you've ever seen?
Yeah, I would say yes, but I also want to always guard against immediacy, right? But and I always remember that I watched some bad Padres teams, right? There's no direction there. They've got injuries also, so a couple of their good players are out. They make bumbling mistakes. They make mistakes like throwing to the wrong base, not throwing to a base, kind of not. Like that thing that you probably are teaching your kids now that I still remember my dad taught me, that know what you're going to do with the ball before it's hit to you. They do things like they're not doing that. And it's just every game we've played, and even yesterday, it's just yesterday, Germán Márquez pitched well. The Padres, you know, hit some balls right at people. It was one of those games. But there still was one play in there. But every game you go, they've given the Padres runs. By either actual errors that actually get an E or by dumb errors. Mm-hmm. And that's the sign of a bad team. It happens to every team, for sure. Mm-hmm. But when it's every game, like pretty much, right? Mm-hmm. That's a bad team. I would say it's the worst team I've ever seen. Look, we saw the White Sox for 3 games last year at Petco. I think we might be splitting hairs, but I was overcome because I've actually seen decent Rockies teams. I think that's what it was. I've seen Rockies teams with dangerous players, right? This is not like you still had to respect, right? You still had some pitchers that, oh, wow, those pitchers know the Padres hitters. They're going to, you know, Padres ran into one of them yesterday. Other than that, like, it is just a bad team. And so, I'm sorry to be passionate about it, but yeah, it's kind of like the topic around baseball right now is what have they done to get this bad? And what's their plan to get out? Like people used to talk this way about the Padres, but if you were paying attention to the Padres, you knew what their plan was, whether that plan was going to work, whether whatever, there was a plan they had. Mm-hmm. And no one seems to know what the Rockies' plan is.
No. Well, their plan won't include Bud Black, fired postgame yesterday. One day before, got the dreaded seal of approval or endorsement from their GM. Bud Black's a guy, Kevin, who you've known for years. The sentiment around baseball seems to be this is unfair to Bud Black. Is it unfair to Bud Black, or are they doing him a favor?
You know how they say, this is what I was struck when I read the release, and you know that they use the term always, most of the time, relieved of his duties? Mm-hmm. I felt like that was accurate this time. Usually, you know, you go, they should just say fired.
Right.
He was relieved of his duties. It was a relief effort. Like that's how I feel that was. And I think that's how everyone feels. Even if, yes, they feel like it's unfair that he would be the guy who gets the axe. And I think there's not anyone who doesn't like Bud Black. Players, I believe them that over the course of what's now been nearly 20 years, love to play for him. I can't tell you if he was getting the most out of the Rockies. I mean, that he could have. I mean, I don't think he was, to be honest with you. But, like, I don't know who was going to turn them into anything like a winner. So, I mean, but, like, look, it had to happen, man. It had to happen. It had to happen for the Rockies, and it had to happen for Bud Black. I mean, this is one of those where we can all get all angsty. But, like, that change was coming, right? Like,
he was under contract only through the end of this year. They were terrible. I mean, for him, this is a person I do not know. But, you know, this guy now gets to spend his summer in North County, San Diego, not getting his teeth kicked in every day with a bad team.
There's grandkids, his wife, there's all sorts of stuff. I will tell you this about these guys. They want to be around baseball and they want to be managing. And I will tell you this about Bud Black, that there were aspects of his day when he wasn't getting his teeth kicked in that he enjoyed, being in the clubhouse, being out on the field before games, talking with players, with pitchers. And so that's a bummer. I'm always trying to keep it human. But yes, the first thing you think when you see that Bud Black got an extension was, well, I mean, not going to make it through that extension. I mean, right. like that's just a guy, kind of like Andy Green when he got his, I'm going to make it through that extension. I mean, right. This is a terrible team and the owner can't be fired. And for some reason, maybe because he's doing what the owner wants. I mean, I don't cover that team, so I can't put it all on the GM there. But, like, evidently the GM's not being fired now. And if he is, like, I mean, still you got the owner who seems to be sort of content looking to catch lightning in a bottle. And by the way, like, I thought that was the quietest crowd I'd ever heard on Friday and a little better on Saturday because it was bigger and then very much better yesterday because they were winning and it was bigger. But I still was surprised by the volume of people when the Nuggets are playing in the playoffs. The Avs might be in the playoffs too. I don't know. He's getting away with robbery there. Dick Monfort is because the Denver sports fans are real, man. Like they like their teams. They love to be outdoors, and so people are still showing up.
Which is, yeah. But again, remember, it's the Padres who aren't running their team the right way, according to Dick Monfort. So,
and it's what's funny is he had some points that they'd thrown some good money after bad money and all that. But yes, that was just wrong messenger. That's for sure.
It's strange. They're just a weird franchise. They're almost stubbornly just intractable. You know, they don't make changes. The fact I was a little surprised that they fired Bud Black because they don't do that.
Yeah.
You know,
You're right. To that point, it was surprising.
They've worn the same home uniform since 1994. Yeah. I mean, there's just
the Yankees.
Kind of, Yeah. They're the Yankees of the Rocky Mountains. Exactly.
Cool. I like the new City Connects though. I liked them.
Yeah.
On Friday.
Same. They're fun. And it's funny. I think the reason why you and I both might get a little fired up about something like this is, you know, the Padres could very easily have been in their position, right? I look at Rockies fans. Denver's a good baseball town when there's something to root for, right? There's a history of them packing that stadium. It's not like this is – they're not playing at George Steinbrenner Field or in friggin' Sacramento. Like, this is a real city. Mm-hmm. It's a real city. And they've given them nothing to cheer for in what, six seasons, seven seasons?
And they did. They might have booed one play on Saturday, and they weren't booing. Now you could call that disinterest. Okay, fine. I mean, that's fine. But like they cheered. They cheered at the right times. Now some of the cheers on Saturdays might have been sarcastic. I don't know. I'm not inside their heads. It wasn't overtly where you know it's a sarcastic cheer, but they might have just been appreciative that their team finally did, you know, got a hit or something. I don't know, but I didn't think it was to your point. It wasn't a terrible atmosphere for what may well be the worst team ever.
Yes, it's crazy. Now on to the Los Angeles Angels. 3-game series starting tonight at Petco Park. Michael King goes against Yusei Kikuchi. King is He hasn't allowed more than two runs in any of his last five starts, according to our Jeff Sanders. He has a 1.32 ERA at home this year. Has struggled against the Angels a little bit, but hasn't started against them since 2021. He's facing Yusei Kikuchi, a guy who has been linked to the Padres through the years, it seems, right? Was somebody who he was in Toronto, got traded last year. Was it to Houston?
Houston.
Then, you know, the Angels did what the Angels do, which is they sign guys in their 30s to long-term contracts. He's 0-4, but a 3.83 ERA, not terrible numbers at all.
Yeah, I think he has four quality starts. He might have lost two of them, like actually got the L, I think, maybe. Obviously, they haven't won, or he hasn't got the win in any of them. But, he's not terrible.
No, not terrible. Jose Soriano against Dylan Cease on Tuesday. I think everybody will be watching Dylan Cease to make sure that there's no forearm cramping going on again this time. But, Kevin, everything you know, he's good to go.
Look, they went ahead. They wouldn't have gone ahead with the bullpen yesterday if they didn't think it was good to go. But I'm with you. Like, you just I still keep giving updates about it, because until he goes through a full game tomorrow, you're wondering, because that was weird.
Yeah. And then Wednesday, you've got that. To me, this is compelling. You want to talk about two guys who couldn't be more different. Wednesday, you've got Randy Vasquez pitching for the Padres against Kyle Hendricks. Remember Kyle Hendricks?
Oh, yeah, I do. I've seen him shove it up the Padres a few times.
Yes, he has. And somebody who's been, you know, again, 1-4 and a 5.3 ERA, but, you know, he has two quality starts, 3.27 ERA and 15 starts against the Padres. Kyle Hendricks, a guy who can paint it. I mean, a little sort of a pop gun Greg Maddux, right? I mean,
I was surprised he's only been in the league 12 years. I feel like I've been watching him forever. Maybe it's because he pitches so slow. I don't know. But, look, I think these aren't bad pitchers the Padres are going to face. These are guys who know how to pitch. They know how to pitch. The Angels have some pop. I'm sure you go over maybe a couple of their hitters. Mike Trout is out, which I don't say sarcastically at all, because I think it's too bad. But that's not a surprise that he's out. But he did have 9 home runs before. It's just a bummer he's not playing. But they got Taylor Ward has 8 or 9. They got some guys who can hit. They're not a good team, but I mean, it's not the Rockies.
No. I mean, you know, Logan O'Hoppe's good. Zach Neto is still a child. I mean, he was just recently drafted, Southern California guy, I believe. Zach Neto, I think a good, interesting young shortstop. They've got some players. This isn't like the Rockies. You're right.
And Kikuchi lefty. This is the kind of series where you don't walk in after they you lose 3-2 or 2-1. You don't roll your eyes and go, "How did that happen?" It's like, well, this is baseball, and those are some good players over there.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Kevin,
that said, by the way, the Padres need to win this series.
Well, yeah. And again, you look at this stretch. I mean, they've got Angels followed by the Mariners. Again, this is a chance to fatten up a little bit.
The Mariners, I haven't seen who their pitchers are, but it doesn't matter, man. Like, first off, they're in first place, unless I've missed something. And that is going to be tough. And then go to Toronto afterward. That's going to be tough. Atlanta afterward. Like, yeah, need to win this series right here, because I think the schedule gets real end of May, June. I think it gets a little more real than it has been.
Right. Well, I'm curious, you know, if the Padres are going to feel any pressure playing for the first ever Vetter Cup. So,
I mean, it's the first. People are going to remember that.
It's the first. Everybody remembers that. Everybody remembers. Put that in the Padres Hall of Fame when they win that one. Kevin, you had a long travel day yesterday, and so for that reason, I'm not going to even put you on the spot today.
Oh, my goodness.
Outside of this, what would your 40 time have been sprinting through Sky Harbor Airport yesterday?
Whew. It was pretty good. As a matter of fact, I felt it for half the flight home. Now, it's not a long flight, and I'm not in terrible shape. I'm not in terrible shape. Like, I felt like I wondered what a heart attack felt like, but I have, of all the times I've traveled, I've never had a connection like that where I can make it. I can make it. It's against the odds, but I can make it. Like, generally it's, oh, well, my plane, the doors are already closed or whatever, right? Like, you know, you missed it. You to have to go across four terminals and make this flight. That was the first time, which is saying something. So yeah, no, it was good. That was good. My fault. You know, I'm a slave to one airline, and you know, everyone else gets a direct flight from Denver, but I don't. So my fault.
You were just really motivated not to have to spend the night in Phoenix.
I needed to get home. Yes.
Padres Angels 3-game series starting tonight at Petco Park, part of a 6-game homestand, correct?
Yes, games, 7 days. So there's the off day in between. So that's nice.
Yes, it will be nice. Thursday will be our off day. And Kevin, we'll talk again Friday ahead of the start of the Vetter Cup against the Seattle Mariners. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.